Our Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 16, as he was talking to his disciples, he asked them, who do men out in the general public, people out there, say that I am? And they answered him, said, some of them think you're Elijah. Some think you're Jeremiah or one of the other old-time prophets. And Jesus asked them, said, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as we studied in our Sunday school lesson this morning, we found out that Christ was asked that same question by the high priest of Israel. Are you the Christ, the Son of God? And he answered and said, I am. And Jesus said to Peter, he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We look back to the year 1968. It was a very eventful year. That was the year that fellow by the name of Troy Perry, who was a practicing homosexual preacher, ostracized by a lot of churches because they didn't believe in homosexuality. They thought it was a sin. And he said, no, it's not a sin. So he broke with the general public and started his own church, his own organization. Said, we got so many homosexuals in the world today that some of them want to go to church. We're going to build a church for them. So he started what's known as the Universal Fellowship of Metropolitan Community Churches. And if you're a homosexual, you can go there and they'll welcome you with open arms, because that's who makes up their congregation. By the way, today, look around you. What have we got here? Look at the people we've got in this auditorium here. Do you know how many they've got down there? They've got 2,000 in theirs. And theirs started the same year this one did. And they've got 2,000 practicing homosexuals. And here we've got this handful of Christian people. That same year, we had, there was an upheaval in the Christian world. The Wesleyan Methodist Church out here merged with the Pilgrim Holiness Church, and they formed the Wesleyan Church that it's known as today. And the Methodist Church, the old time Methodist Church that you and I might remember from years past, merged with the Evangelical United Brethren Church to form what is known today as the United Methodist Church. And in other news, things were going on in the space industry back in 68. Surveyor 7 landed on the moon. Think of that. And Apollo 8 had three astronauts in it. They orbited the moon, went all the way around it. That was the same year that the USS Pueblo was seized by the North Koreans, almost started a war. was the year that the Americans elected for president a fellow by the name of Richard Nixon, 37th president of the United States. And an old preacher by the name of Charles E. Fuller, I used to listen to him in his old-fashioned revival hour. He died that year. One of my favorite radio preachers. I never met him in person. That was also the year that Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated by James Earl Ray. And up here in Los Angeles, you'll remember that Senator Robert Kennedy was assassinated by Arab guy by the name of Sirhan Sirhan. We had Muslim problems back then. And what was going on down here in San Diego at that time? Well, this fellow over here in National City by the name of Orville Morris Tuck. We've got his picture out here in the lobby of the church. He gathered together on a Sunday evening, June the 2nd, 1968, gathered together a group of 15 people. They were in the Knights of Python Hall over in National City, 10th and B Streets. And they were gathered there for the purpose of organizing a new church. There was no fundamental Baptist work in Chula Vista at that time. And by the way, Brother Tuck was a church planter. I appreciate people like that. We've got one here in our midst. Brother Brian has established about 8 churches out across the country. And God has his hand on people like that, gives them a special talent, I think. Brother Tuck had some experience. He had founded a couple of churches back in Missouri. Then he went into the Navy. And while he was in the Navy, stationed up there in San Francisco, I was up there back during World War II for a while at Alameda. He was up there and started a church in San Francisco. Then after he got out of the service, he and his brother-in-law by the name of Bill McTeer was over in National City. They started to work over there that wound up over in Lemon Grove, someplace over there. And I knew Bill McTeer pretty well. He worked downtown San Diego at the Bank of America. And I was working down at the courthouse. And I'd call him up every once in a while. Hey Bill, let's have lunch together today. And we'd have lunch together, had some good fellowship with Brother McTeer. And they started that work over in National City. And then here in 68, this one started. I remember Brother Tuck, I was pastoring at that time here in Castle Park Baptist Church down on 3rd Avenue. And Brother Tuck came by and he said, "Brother Wetzel," he said, "I'm going to be starting a church out in Chula Vista." He says, "Now, we're not going to be in competition with one another, but," he says, "I've rented the little Marion Hall down here on Kennedy Street." Well, man, that I could throw a rock from my church and hit it down there. He said, "Now, we're not in competition. We're not out to take members from your church or anything like that." He said, "We're just renting here for a little while until we get established out a little further east." Well, this is east. And anyway, they eventually wound up here. But on that Sunday evening, they started their service off over there with a song, and then gave some personal, they had some personal testimonies. And Brother Tuck opened his Bible over to Matthew 28 and preached a sermon to those people on the Great Commission. You know what the Great Commission is? where Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, I'll be with you always. And so he preached to them there. And when the invitation was given, 13 of those 15 people answered the invitation and came and responded there to form the church. And the name of the church that they selected that evening was, remember now they're in National City, was Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. Now that seems like a strange name for a church starting over in National City, and they name it Chula Vista Bible Baptist. Well, it was their intention to build the church, to get property here and build a church in Chula Vista. And so while they were in that meeting, they said, now we're going to support missionaries. There was a fellow by the name of Laurel Woosley who had surrendered to be a missionary out of that church in San Francisco that Brother Tuck had established up there years before. And they selected him. He was a missionary to the Philippines. And they pledged $10 a month to his support. So this Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church started off as a missionary Baptist church from the very beginning, from that first meeting. And when they moved down here, as I said, they met at Marion Hall for a little while, started holding services there on July the 3rd of 68. They didn't stay there very long. Brother Tuck had a son-in-law by the name of George Poole. And George is in Odessa, Texas. And that's where Rita and I came out. George is coming out from Odessa 9 years after we left there. And so he'd been there in Odessa. And Brother Tuck got him out here to work with him in this new church that he'd formed. So they rented this Starlight Center right across the street over here and started holding services over there. And that is October the 13th, 1968, when Brother Poole came out here. And as October, November, December, January, Brother Tuck said, all right, the church is pretty well established now. I would like to turn this work over to you. It's all right with the people. So the people said, all right, we'll take Brother Poole as our pastor. And so Brother Tuck packed up and went back to Missouri and stayed there ministering. I don't know if he built any other churches. I know he pastored until his death on the 16th of October of 1986. He was 75 years old when he went into the presence of the Lord. So now Brother Poole has got the church. And on March the 2nd of 1969, all of the people of the congregation that were over here in the Starlight Center moved over here into this auditorium that we're in now. It was brand spanking new. The pews had not been installed yet, and they had to sit in folding chairs. And they had a Wednesday night service here on July the 7th, 1971. That's nearly 40 years ago. Think of that. And so Brother Poole continued to pastor the church here. He stayed, bought a house right down the street here and had a job working at Sunset Builder Supply, selling lumber and hardware down in Mission Valley. And he was working and pastoring at the same time. Stayed here for 10 and a half years. And finally, his old pastor down in San Antonio, Texas, decided that he was, I don't remember if he left or retired. If he retired or maybe went to another church. But anyway, the Grace Baptist Temple there in San Antonio, Texas. Brother Poole had gone to church there when he was in the Air Force. He was stationed there in San Antonio. And so that was his home church. He'd surrendered to preach there and went from there up to Springfield, a Bible college, and all of this. And that was kind of his home church. Well, when that pastor left down there, he called him up. He says, Brother George, he said, would you consider coming down here and pastoring the Grace Baptist Temple? And I'd been here with him for 2 or 3 years by that time, and we had prayer meetings and we prayed about this. And he didn't want to go. His kids were in school here. A couple of them were in high school. And you know how hard it is to pull kids out of school when they're at that age. They've got all of their friends around them. They're looking forward to graduation and things like this. He was reluctant to move his family, but and by the way, Barbara, his wife, got cancer. And that kind of, you know, put a strain on them too. And she had breast cancer. And finally, the Lord won out, I guess. And he said, all right, we're moving. So he moved his family down to San Antonio and took the church down there. That was in August of 1979, I guess it was, 76. That's when it was. Anyway, I'd been working here with him. No, I started working here on June the 20th of 1976. And after his leaving, he left me here. Well, I had Brother Earl Bailey that was working with me at that time too. And then we got there goes Tim. He heard that baby crying out there, and he knew that that mother cannot handle that baby by herself. It needs a child needs a father and a mother. I love that. That's cute. Anyway, Brother Bill Allen, we got a hold of Bill, and he built us this Sunday school, our educational building out here, and we occupied that on June the 27th, 1981. I didn't realize that building is getting that old, but it is, isn't it? And if you looked at your bulletin today, you've got that gal over here put a whole page in there about me, and it's got nearly my life's history in it. And I think you'll find out that June's a pretty important month in our history. This June, I'll be, the 19th of this month, I'll be celebrating my 61st year in the ministry. Boy, those have gone by fast. Did you know that? I mean, that's nearly half my life. Seems like, you know, it's just going zoom, just like that. 61 years. And this is my 51st year in Chula Vista. I can't imagine I've been here over half a century. And it's my 65th year to be husband to my wife, Rita, who has faithfully kept her promise to love, honor, and obey. That's pretty good for 65 years. She's going to have some stars in her crown, that's for sure, when she gets to heaven. I'm in trouble now. I didn't say anything but good. So this year, on June the 2nd, a couple of days ago, two, three, was the church's 43rd anniversary. 43 years. I got to keep a lot of records, and I got to going back over them, and I got to figure it up. 43 years, there's been at least 5,000 sermons preached here, and the same number of Bible lessons have been taught. That'd fill a book. Wow, 5,000. Now, we haven't been a Billy Graham here. The ministry of this church has not been a Billy Graham crusade by any stretch of the imagination, with people, hundreds of people pouring down the aisles to be saved. It'd be wonderful if it was, but it just hasn't been that way. But you know, there's been 519 souls walk down this aisle who have joined this church, and 175 of them have followed the Lord in baptism up here. 175. Now, spread out over 43 years, that's, like I say, that's not really much to brag about, but if I were one of those 175, I would consider it pretty important to me. We just do what God's called us to do, and we leave the results up to Him who does all things well, and we give Him the glory. And then, too, in keeping the records, I've noticed that over these years, it's been about 73 of our soldiers that have stacked their arms and retired to the presence of Jesus. I look at you out there, and you're alive and well, and I thank God for you. But in my mind's eye, I can see 73 people that are not here today that have already gone on to be with Jesus. But it seems that when one goes down, another is ready to stand up and take their place. And we honor those who have earnestly contended for the faith once delivered to the saints. Now, many others of those 519 have moved away. Jobs, other reasons. And they continued to serve the Lord on other fields of service. And sad to say, we've had some that have been captured by the enemy and have become spiritual casualties in this war between good and bad, between God and the devil. Many have been overcome and have fallen prey to the enemy. They've deserted their ranks like Demas did Paul, having loved this present evil world. From where I stand, I've seen a lot, both joy and sorrow. Well, we were talking a while ago about Brother Woosley and $10 a month support. I think it was just the next service or two that they added three or four more missionaries to their list. And through the years, our missions program has gone from that $10 a month to some 35 missionary families that we're supporting at the present time. And this last month, we sent out $1,850 to missions. And I thank God for that, because that shows our concern for the lost. as we contribute to and support these missionaries who go out to the uttermost parts of the earth carrying the good news that Jesus saves. We regard them as extension arms of our church. And we've given, since 1980, close to $200,000 to missions. This small, comparatively speaking, congregation. It's pretty good. And you know, it makes me proud as your pastor to have been a part of this church's ministry for the past 35 years. None of us were here as charter members or anything when the church started 43 years ago. But I appreciate those of you who are perpetuating the work that they started. I don't know how our records compare with the records that God is keeping, but I do know that this church has been faithful to God and faithful to the cause of Christ in keeping His work and service first and foremost in our priorities. And God rewards faithfulness. We're faithful to the Bible. In the past 43 years, I couldn't begin to tell you how many new versions of the Bible have come out. But we've still got the King James here. And we still use it as the Word of God. And I don't believe there's another book like it in the world. The power of God unto salvation is in its message. And it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path that leads and guides us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The Bible is our bread that nourishes and sustains our souls. The Bible is our living water that quenches our thirst and cleanses our walk. The Bible is our comfort in times of trouble and trials. And it's also the sword of the Spirit with which we defeat our enemies. One thing I appreciate about this church is the love that's always been present in this auditorium. People care for one another as Jesus has commanded us to do, even as He does for us, because we are one in Christ. We are His body. We are His church, and He is our head. And when we're assembled together in His name, He's in our midst. And we support and strengthen and sustain each other. We meet together to worship the Lord. And we not only worship God together, but we pray together. All of us at one time or another has had problems, or we've been sick. It's wonderful when you're sick to have a group of people like this gathered together with one mind and one accord and pray and offer up petitions before God for those that are sick. And we pray for the sick and the infirm of our congregation. That's the way we communicate with God, because we have a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. And another thing, we practice the presence of God.
Yes.
We hold on to God's promise that where two or three are gathered together in His name, He says, there am I in the midst of them. And we practice the presence of God. We are constantly aware of the fact that He hears everything that we say, and He sees everything that we do, and He goes with us everywhere that we go. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always there. This is a place where God meets with His people. And we also remember that those who have never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are lost. And we are and should always remain a people who care for those who are lost. We care for people when they're hungry, and we have a desire to feed them, to satisfy their need, their physical need. If we see someone who needs clothing or shelter, our hearts go out to them. But how much more when we see people who are without God and without Christ, who are facing an eternity without hope? We should care for those that are lost and do all that we can to remedy the situation. Because we know that if they die in that condition of unbelief, that they'll remain lost for all eternity. And we also know that we have a God who is not willing that any should perish, but He's long-suffering and merciful, and will save any and all who come to Him by faith, believing. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We know that Jesus Christ is the only way, that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We look at our past and we try to learn from our mistakes. We look at our present and we take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to us every day. And we look at our future and we know that Jesus is coming again and His reward will be with Him. We have the promised power of God, the Holy Spirit, and by that power we can pull down strongholds and subdue kingdoms and proclaim righteousness. And we have the promise of God. We read it in our text, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us, that this church is founded upon a rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. And things that we cannot accomplish as individuals, we can accomplish as a body of Christ working together. Amen. Hand in hand and heart with heart. So let's resolve in our hearts today to keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's depend upon His strength to work through us to do His will and to accomplish His purpose. Because soon and very soon, maybe October the 21st, soon and very soon, the trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ will be raised. And those of us who are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let's stand together, please, for prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, it's so good to be here today. I thank you for each individual that's here in this congregation. And Lord Jesus, please minister to their particular needs, because our needs are as different as we are. You know our weaknesses. You know our strengths. And Father, we pray that through your grace, you would manifest yourself to us, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, lead us in the way that you would have us to go, and help us to do the things that will bring honor and glory to your name. If there's one here today that is not sure of their salvation, that does not know whether when they die they'll go to heaven or go to hell, I hope that today they will see Jesus as the door, who says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And that they will, by faith today, come and enter in through that door and let Jesus into their heart and accept that great gift of eternal life that you give to those who believe. So, Father, have your will and your way today in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
496.
Number 496. As we sing a verse of invitation this morning, will you come?
Jesus is calling the weary.
Yeah.